Sing to the Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trust in His light, walk in His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord. Heavens are plain,
Jesus shall reign.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity, come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor of Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord. Honor the Son,
Jesus has won.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. And will you please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. Also, there is information on our radio and internet broadcasts, which can be found in the bulletin and the insert as well. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now, both now and forever. Amen. We'll be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 10, O God, our help in ages past. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 291, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Oh,
please stand now as we sing hymn number 297, God Will Take Care of You.
Pray, and before prayer, two announcements. In the back, you are free to take the. We have accomplished Revelation chapter 1, and in the evening we study that in a discussion class. And there is an echo here, and then you can take this home or use it for. And tonight we start chapter 2, verse 1-7. And the happenings in the bulletin that you receive is a message. From the Deacon Board concerning the different aspects on selling the land and buying the new land and so on, and the position of entire Deacon Board in unity to wait upon the Lord. Three times the scripture said the just shall live by faith. And everybody knows, there is a microphone open somewhere because I hear the ring in my ear and will ring on the radio. The Deacon Board believe what the Bible believes, that just shall live by faith. And we're going to have faith that God will bring to pass the fact that it's either we're going to be enlarged here or we're going to be someplace. At the due time, it's going to be provided. And our brother Plika have written on behalf of the Deacon Board a beautiful secretarial work so that you can read it. Our eternal God, you have called us to be members of one body. Bind us to those who in all times and places have called on your name, so that with one heart and one mind we may display the unity of the church and bring glory to your Son, our Savior. As a body of believer fathers, we have people in a special need. And we praise you because we can bring those needs to you and leave it there at the altar, knowing that you will answer. We have a very special emergency in the life of Chris Floyd, her mother, which is with a very enlarged tumor who is hurting her, and she's in Stanford, Father. And we pray for her comfort, the comfort of the family, and for your work in the heart of her mother, who was so hard for the gospel. But now, Father, she wants to read one passage of the scripture, and that's Psalm 23. And so I pray that you bless the Murphy family as they're going to bring an enlarged Bible that was donated by Brother Prester Giacomo a long time ago. And now we can put it to use with large prints, Father. Father, bless her that she may know you. We pray for Loretta Forrest in bed with extreme cancer, but with great courage and a wonderful spirit. Lord, we are aware of what you are doing in the life of Joel, which is Victor's brother-in-law. And today he's going to be relief home until he come back for new treatment for cancer. And so, Father, we pray that you work in his heart. We visit him with the deacons and pray with him. And we pray that he may pay attention, that we went there with a message that there is hope in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, in the Motorsport Association, where Daniel is a missionary, the head of the Motorsport Association, Richard Anderson, is also in hospital and cannot move. And Danny was called quickly to attend double switch in different races as he is a chaplain on the races. And I pray for Richard that he may recover. And I pray for Daniel that he may have a good strength to carry the heavy load of being attending different races and at different hours. And for the family, as they're going to lose the father for a period of time. Lord, be with these people who want to serve you and move on in different circumstances come in their life. We pray for two more people, Mr. Peretto here in town, who is suffering from the kidney. And then also we pray for Betty Tarf with Alzheimer's disease. Father, we cover these people who are ours. We cover with your prayers. And we cover the families so that the comfort of God would touch their life. And Lord, how we love missionaries in our church. And we don't have to list them, but we mention them to you as a refreshing thought of our heart, that not only here the word is preached, but also in different parts of the world. Not only through the airways of the internet or the airways of KKMC radio station, but also in Siberia, we have Fred and Carol Lewis. We have in Seville, Father Carol and Ruth Knott, and now with these difficulties in Spain, help these missionaries to explain that there is hope in God. Eusebio and Marisa Perez also in Benalmadena in Spain. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy. Martha Faretti is attending today the ceremony. The six people from the drug addict are graduating because they have passed all the curriculum requirement, and now they go to another step where they're going to be a little more free. And Martha is there to encourage them to go to church. Father, bless her at this very precious moment. Lord, we have the Giovanni family who is in Guatemala. We have the Rode family who is in Papua New Guinea. And here as our neighbor, we have the San Jose Sport Association reaching the young people for the glory of God. Father, we are a busy church, and we have activities the entire day today because it's your day. And we do things in order. We do things because your people are generous, and they bring offerings to your house so that we can develop this work of presenting only one thought, Jesus saved. And Jesus can change our life like the Sunday school class today that we study. We thank you, Lord, that we have a message of tomorrow. Jesus, our Lord. So bless the offering, bless the giver, bless us today that we may go home with the peace of Christ. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the first epistle of Peter. If you're using the Bible provided for you in the pew, turn to page 714. We will be reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the tremendous blessings we each have in Christ. We thank you for the great example we have in him, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, but in fact, we are blessed when we are reviled and persecuted for Jesus' sake. We thank you that Jesus bore our sins, willingly taking the penalty for our sin upon himself. We pray for courage and strength to do what is right, according to the Scriptures. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he brings the incomparable truths from your word, the Bible. Give us understanding that we may apply these truths to our daily lives. Bless those, Father, listening on the radio and internet, particularly those who do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord, that they too would come to know the only living and true God and experience the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's word. Let me ask you a few questions. Have you ever bought a lemon used car? Have you ever sent away for a $16.95 gadget and you got 85 cents a plastic back? Who hasn't, at some point, been taken advantage of what in America is called rip-off? Yet we recover relatively easily and quickly from rip-off like that. We feel the pain, we feel sorry for the money that we lose, but we recover quickly. What is really difficult to endure is the kind of abuse, or what in psychology is called victimization, you're a victim, that gets personal when someone slanders your reputation, pulls the economic rugs out from us, or even threaten your life. Now, that's difficult. And that's very, very tough. It's hard to deal with the consequences of our own missteps, miscalculations, and I will say this, stupid mistakes that we sometimes do. But it seems unbearable to suffer the consequences of something that wasn't our fault or that we didn't deserve. Really tough. If you have ever treated like that, you are in good biblical company. One, David was ripped off by King Saul. Joseph was mistreated by his brothers. Job, the man the book of the Bible won before Psalm, was victimized by the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, those psychologists. They want to cancel him and said, you are wrong, that's why you suffer. This idea that because you suffer, you are a sinner, it's not new. It's just from Iraq and from all these areas. So while we may be in good company, and misery does love company, company doesn't alleviate the pain nor solve the unfair treatment. What is the natural reaction to unfair treatment? How does clinical psychology treat fair treatment? I want to show you 3 points. And this is just to mention. This is not a sermon. The sermon will come out right after this. But clinical psychology says there are 3 reasons why, there are 3 ways in which we react. Number one, there is an aggressive pattern we call. We blame others. And when you blame others, you are very aggressive. You don't feel guilty. That's what clinical psychology says. Number two, there is a passive pattern. We feel sorry for ourselves, how terrible we are. And there is a third pattern, is we postpone or deny our feelings. We are not real with ourselves, and we deny everything we are, and we postpone that. Now, although these are very common reactions, don't expect to find any of these in your Bible. In the passage, and I hope you have the Bible open in 1 Peter chapter 2, in the passage that our brother read for us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, and if you lost the passage and if you are using the Bible that is in the pew, it's in page 714, Peter informed us how to have hope beyond unfairness. You know, I am speaking this month on the issue of the grace of God upon the unfair treatments of life on us. And I scheduled these sermons way before the year began. And today the sermon is to have hope beyond unfairness. To have hope. And Peter described all of these for us. And I'm going to go step by step with you so that if you are in that particular case, that you have been treated unfairly, psychology would not help you, but God will help you to become real with yourself. And when you become real with yourself, and if you are saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you, was buried and rose again for your sin, that he paid for your sins, then you can believe what God is going to say to you in this scripture. So I walk with you through them. Number one, look at the command that God gave us in verse 13 and in verse 14. I read it again for you. I'm reading from the King James Version, and sometimes I add some of my perversions, that some of my Greek words that I put on. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king, to the authority, maximum authorities of the land, as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them they are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now, look at the commandment. First, let's take a good look at what Peter says. The way to live under the will of God is this: you have to submit to authorities. If what the mayor in San Francisco will do in another South American country, he will be a dead man today. Because some other cultures do not understand, cultures that do not have the gospel, do not have the power to submit. and they will react. One of them is Iraq, for example. They will not submit. The Arabs in Palestine, they will not submit. Bush can talk day in and day out, but they will not submit because they do not have the gospel. But you and I who have the gospel learn to submit. And I keep writing to South America the example of the culture that have been affected by the gospel. Rather than going in a mob and lynch that mayor and cut him in pieces and give it to the dogs, people are going to court. And the court stop him and will stop him. Thank God. I tell you, submit is a very difficult word, don't we? It's difficult. And here's what I said. You have to submit. There must be instances, of course, when we must stand our ground, when we must stand firm and disobey the law that is in disobedience to the law of God. This is possible. Turn your Bible to Acts 5:28, page 642. The book of Acts in chapter 5, and in verse 28, please, in verse 29. Acts chapter 5, in verse 28, in verse 29. Saying, and this is a discussion of the apostles with the higher authority. They're in jail. And they're in jail. It's a difficult place to be. You have no rights in jail. And so you are there. And then the judges are saying to them, did not we strictly command you, or do we not strictly command you, that you should not teach in this name, you should not teach Jesus? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. The word doctrine is didaskalos, is the word teaching. You have filled the whole town with the teaching of Jesus, and intend to bring this man blood on us or upon us. In other words, they were preaching the gospel, don't we? They were saying, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus, that blood of the cross will be yours and you will be judged. They were preaching the gospel. And the authorities said, that's terrible. Now look the answer from the people who were in court. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, or reply. The word out should be not there, should be the word must. We must obey God rather than men. See that? We must obey God rather than men. We are not to compromise our convictions or renouncing our faith. But those are exceptions. These are not the normal rule. These are exceptions. Whatever possible, we are to render unto Caesar the coin of civil obedience, pray for those in authority, pay our taxes, obey the laws of the land, and live honorably under the domain of earthly elected leaders. That is our job. Let's get something very clear. Our problem is not understanding what submission means. Our problem is doing what it says. Most of the time, that's the case with the word submission. Everybody understands the word submission. But everybody has difficulty in submitting themselves. Children need to submit to their parents. And they always, when I used to preach in Christian school, they asked me, well, how far do we have to submit? The question is, how are we going to do that? So here's the command. If you're going to live in peace, if you're going to have the peace of God in you, you need to learn to submit to authority. That's it. Number two. Look at the reason behind in verse 15. For so is the will of God. Oh, wow. That's not the opinion of Pastor Otero. That's not the opinion of Bethel Baptist Church. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I read it again. For it is God's will that by doing right, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish man. That's what God said. In order to put to silence those who talks about you, you must do right. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, let me give you some examples. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 20 and 21, page 576. Matthew chapter 22. And I give you two examples. Matthew 22 and verse 20 and 21. We must do right, and then you avoid problems. Should we pay taxes? April 15 is around the corner, my friends. Should we pay taxes or not? It's not a question of the law of the United States of America. Look at what the Bible says. And he said to the disciple, they found a coin, and they said to Jesus, you know, we have to pay taxes to get into this place. And he said, who is the image and the superscription of this coin? And they said, verse 21, unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. In other words, you pay your tithe to your church, and you pay your taxes to the government, and you'll be okay. And people try to argue these two issues so hard. And God said, here's the reason. This is the will of God, my friend. This is not the idea of the Bethel Baptist Church. This is not the idea of pastors there. This is the will of God. You have to give to God what belongs to God, and to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And you have to do it if you want to live in peace successfully and in a remarkable lifestyle. This is the will of God. You know, I'm impressed with verse 15. You know, if you have an electronic concordance, you can type that word, this is the will of God, and go through the Bible. There are not too many, about seven of them, a sentence like that. This is the will of God. Wow. There are books written about the will of God, but there are seven sentences in the Bible that cover it all. So here's the reason. Here's the reason in verse 15. You submit. See, hope is the title beyond unfairness. You submit. And you submit because it's the will of God. Not because it's convenient. Because it's the will of God. By submitting to civil authority, we silence any rumor that we are a maverick group. That we did as we please. Now, there is a principle behind all of this. You know, with all these panic of San Francisco and the shadow that came to San Jose, the church is trying to get together, and the church is trying to say, so what we should do? But the media also, and the Mercury newspaper called me. He said, will you write something about it? Yes, I will write the gospel of Jesus saves. He said, no, we want you to write about homosexuality. No, I want to write about your sin. You're a sinner. You're calling me. Are you going to church? No, sir. Are you saved? Saved from what? He doesn't have an idea. So he said, let me share with you. And I read John 3 like you people read in Sunday school today. I said, are you born again? He said, well, here we go again. He said, we don't want this in our city. Well, then you want the mayor of San Francisco. It's either you have God or you have evil. He said, we don't need your writings. Praise the Lord. See, it's very simple. You submit to authority, but you submit to God first. All right? You submit to authority. The reason is the will of God. Number three is this. There is a principle behind all of these, and that's in verse 16 and 17. Let's read it. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. In case you lost the page, it's 714. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor, I'm going to change the word all because the word pasta is more strong. All, honor every man. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. honor the king. Wow, tremendous principle. You can preach a week on those verses. Here's the principle. We do not submit because we necessarily agree. All right? Somebody yesterday, I have lunch with somebody yesterday and said, I want to thank you that you helped me to stay in church. Because my church is doing a lot of crazy things, but you told me you have to agree to disagree. And when they don't preach Christ anymore, you get out. You told me years ago, and I'm still solid member of that church. I disagree with certain things, but as long as they preach the gospel, I stay there. Agree to disagree. We do not submit because deep within we support all the rules and codes and regulations. No. The principle comes to the surface in verse 16. We do not use freedom as a covering for evil. That's what the mayor of San Francisco is doing. He is saying, I recognize, he says, that there is a marriage rule and so on. But what are we going to do about the liberty of everybody? He's trying to use freedom to cover evil. This Bible is tomorrow's newspaper. Who knows what tomorrow will come in? We find it right here, my friend. I call the office of the mayor. See if he can have an interview with me. I want to show him in the scripture this. We do not use freedom to cover evil. Peter gave us certain principles how to abide. Act as a free man. Look at verse 16. Act as a free man. You are not tied by anybody. Now look at verse 17. Honor all people. Have a good estimation of everybody. Never judge anybody, because if you're going to judge anybody, first you have to judge yourself. So don't judge anybody. Love the brotherhood. You know that word brotherhood is used by the devil. Oh, we are a brotherhood. No, no, no. If you have one hand here and you go to chapter 1 in verse 22, you know what brotherhood means, all right? What is he talking about, brotherhood? Is he talking about every man on earth, or is he talking about the believers? Look at the context of the letter. Chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See, he's talking about the brethren. He's talking about the believers. It's easy to find in the Bible what it's talking about when you go into that context. So when you go again into that verse 17, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. That means you love the brethren. There are some brethren that dress in suit, some others don't dress in suit. There are some brethren that come to the right, others come to the left. There are some brethren who speak with accent like me, and some others who speak English. Oh, British, you don't understand what they said. That's all right. You love the brethren. You love the brethren, period. You love the brethren. There are brethren with problems and brethren without problems. You love them. There are brethren that you can you have to disagree. So you kindly said, I'm very sorry I disagree, but I love you. I have done this in my life. It was very hard, but very peaceful. And when you do it from the heart, you know, it's very peaceful. You keep loving. And I receive love back, by the way. Even for those who disagree with me. See, it's very, very clever, see. Act as a free man, honor the people, love the brotherhood, and look at verse 17. Wow. Fear God. What do you mean, Pastor, fear God? I should be afraid of God? No, it's explained in the Bible. Go to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. That's in page 831. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13 define what means to fear God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord, when the Bible says is, that's a copulative verb, means there is no way you can put it apart. When the Bible says is, the fear of the Lord is, that's it. Don't do like President Clinton, remember that time there was question? He said, all depends what the word is means. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's bad. That's wickedness. And you pray for a man like that. You pray, say, Lord, no, even his English, a lawyer, even forgot his English. Sin do that to you. So don't judge any man. Sin does this to you, blind you. So fear God. Hate evil. Not only depart from evil, hate it. Don't say, I will never do it again because you will do it. Just hate it. Like President Bush's father, remember he hate broccoli. Remember he said? So what they did, they bring a big ton of broccoli to his garden. Remember that picture? And he kicked it. He said, I hate it. I don't care. I remember that. I tried to tell my wife about vegetables. She gave me all kind of vegetables. I hate them. She said, eat it anyway. All right. Fear God. You hate evil. And I like this. Honor the king. You see, we go back to 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Now, page 714, back over there, say, honor the king. And honor the king is respect the king. It's a little more explained in 1 Timothy. So if you go with me to page 701, 1 Timothy 2, please, right here, we have some prayers for the king. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 to 3. And then honor the king is explained a little deeper. Here is what Paul says to Timothy, a pastor. He said, I exhort therefore, or I counsel to you therefore, that first of all, supplications or petitions, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in the godliness, in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father. So when you are praying for the president and we are praying for the authorities, even for the mayor of San Francisco, it's such an honor for you to do that. You are honoring the king. Even if you are praying and you say, God, work in the heart of this man because according to the scripture, this is wrong. You are honoring and God is pleased with that. Remarkable. So number three, there's a principle behind. God has a set of principles whereby we behave in this world. And number four, there are some examples for you and me. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to list the examples. Now you have to remote yourself to the time of Jesus. There were no unions where you have the right and the hours and these and the other. There were not social security. There was not health insurance and these and that. There was nothing, all right? There was a man who owns a company and a slave who worked for him. When you work for somebody, you're a slave. You had no rights whatsoever. Now, when you keep this in your mind, you understand the passage. I'll read it for you. Servants. Now, you know who they are? Servants? Employees. Imagine if an employer said, you servant, come here. Oh, boy, I'm not a servant. I go to the union and apply Article 12, 21, you know, and something like that. But that's not in the Bible. When you work for somebody, you work so that that person becomes a millionaire. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the nasty ones. For this is thanworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering, wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take in patiently. But if when you do well and suffering for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. This is what God likes. For even hereunto were ye called. You were called for that, to suffer under these circumstances. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Wow. It is so difficult for us in America to read some of these verses, I tell you. Our frame of reference is so different. So sometimes interpreters try to rewrite God's word to make it fit, but there is no way you make it fit. That's the way it is. What can we do? We must let it speak for itself. Tell me this. Do you have an uncaring boss? Do you have a supervisor who is unfair? Do you have to deal with unreasonable people? The natural tendencies of the human heart is to fight back against unfair and unreasonable treatment. That's the natural tendencies. But Peter's point is that seeking revenge for unjust suffering can be a sign of self-appointed lordship over one's own affairs. Revenge, then, is totally inappropriate for anyone who has submitted his life to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our focus, then, should not be with getting the raise at the office, but with getting the praise from God when I work. Can you see why the Christian philosophy is absolutely radical and revolutionary in this time in which we live? It's so different. We don't work for credit or for prestige or the salary. We work for the glory of God in whatever we do. That's what the apostle says. The purpose of the believer in society is to bring glory and honor to the name of God, and not to be treated well. You will never find that 100% you are treated well. Never. Or even to be happy, as wonderful as those things are. As a matter of fact, when we have in our home a time of real quietness in our life, that everything is going well, I wonder when the next storm will come in, whether through a sickness or through something. Last year was a stir. I thought that we're going to lose Miriam. She was at the edge of gone. But God was pleased to restore her life. And we keep calling, waiting for that bad news. Look at how we are. Waiting for the bad news. Is there something wrong with you? Oh, no, I've been here, we're here. Doing 100 things. And we kneel down and say, Lord, only you can do that. Only you can do that. The purpose of the believer in society is to bring glory and honor to the name of God, not to be treated well. See, in verse 21, you are called for this purpose. Look at verse 21. For even hereunto ye are called. You are called for this purpose. You are called to suffer through all of this. No one was ever more ripped off than Christ Jesus. Absolutely no one in this earth. Jesus of Nazareth was the only perfect man who ever lived, yet he suffered continually during his short life in this planet. He was misunderstood. He was hated, arrested, and tortured, and finally crucified. And Peter says, you must walk in the steps of Jesus. This is not theology, this is practicality. How can Jesus overcome such unjustness? Look at verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, what did Jesus do? Revile not again. When he was suffered, he treated not, by committing himself to him that judges righteously. I will not waste one penny of my money to sue anybody for anything unjust that that person will do to me. Even though you don't know the amount of Christians and the amount of lawyers and the board of lawyers that met me and my wife that want us to take the case when I was firing Family Radio to sue Family Radio for millions and millions of dollars. But you think I want to waste my time in doing that?
I'm glad that I understood this verse. I live by these rules. They were showing to me and Raquel all the written letter, clearly as can be, and how we can get all this money. Of course, they want 50%. But I tell you, that's wasting your time. That's wasting your time. Christ, you have to follow Christ, even if you're right. And Christ revile not. You know what that means? You don't fight back. You don't want to waste time on that. Jesus kept entrusting himself to him that judges righteously. Hope beyond unfairness. It was because, and this is my conclusion, it was because David refused to take vengeance on King Saul that he became a king. It was because David refused to take vengeance. Remember that day when Saul was seeking for him and he hid it in the mountain, David, and Saul said, I want to rest. And he went to sleep right on David's place. David took his sword, got something from his clothing, and ran away. I will not lift up my hand against my Lord, he said. And his Lord wanted to kill him. It was because Joseph was so willing to forgive his brothers that we admire him this day. You remember Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20? The brothers are trembling, looking to him. He said, peace, peace. He told the truth to them. You mean it for bad, but God turned it for good. It was because Job did not waver in his faith, and in spite of all of those unfair calamities, that we are impressed with him today. You read the book of Job, and everybody is telling all kinds of things. And the man knew that he did not deny the Lord or did wrong. He was a big, 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 big businessman. He has a camel trade, and he has all. I mean, he was the top of the top. But he never did wrong, and everybody's accusing him. You are sick because you did something wrong, and he kept his faith in God. Even his wife said, remember when all his children died and his business went up? And his wife said, why don't you deny God and die? And he, if I was him, said, oh, you rascal. You know, he said, darling, you're speaking like one who is an unbeliever. Darling, cool up, cool up. Have been changed by God in your life. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ penetrates your life, like we're studying Sunday school today, when God makes you new, you're new. And that's the only way you can act. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, find within us a yielded and quiet spirit of submission. We need you to come in like a flood. Occupy us as waters find empty spaces. Oh, Father, occupy reserved portions of our life where anger is festering and the secret places where the grudges are being stored. Sweep through our houses. Don't miss one room or single area. Cleanse every dark closet. Look under every rug. Let nothing go unnoticed as you take full control of our motives as well as our actions. Deep within our heart, we pray that you will sweep us clean of blame and revenge, of self-pity and keeping a score. Enable each one of us to be big enough to press on regardless of what unfair treatment we have to endure. Take away the scars of ugly treatment and harsh words. Help us forgive even to those who never acknowledge their wrongdoing and so burst in us. Give us peace in place of turmoil and erase the memories that keep us offended. We need fresh hope to go on, oh Father. I ask this in the name of him who have no sin and did no wrong, but died the just for the unjust, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Stand, please, for prayer. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.